I've touched on it on previous Morning Buzzcasts, but remember, we have released an enhanced app of Sports Business Journal, free to download, but yes, requires a subscription to log in and access the news and content. Download the latest version from the Apple App Store today. Also, the CAA World Congress of Sports, presented by SBJ, begins in 2 weeks in Los Angeles at LA Live. It'll be a great week. I'd love to have you join us. There's going to be unbelievable networking, great learning, and speakers. Interested in attending? Reserve your spot at sportsbusinessjournal.com or let me know if you have any questions, but I hope to see you in LA in 2 weeks. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, April 2nd. Good morning. I'm Abe Matcor. Women's basketball leads ESPN. It also is touched on at the top of all the morning shows on ESPN.com this morning. The top five stories on the homepage are all about women's basketball. Caitlin Clark in Iowa certainly delivered on Monday night. Wow. What a show of force. And now you have Iowa up against Paige Beckers and UConn on Friday night. Winner playing NC State against South Carolina. The women's Final Four in Cleveland is set up just perfectly. And I want to bring in my producer, Reggie Walker. Reggie, we are seeing such energy around women's basketball.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, you think about this too. This is a cool thing I just thought about. But NC State and UConn, both men's and women's teams are in the Final Four. So some ADs and some school presidents have some decisions to make on some private jets. But what we've seen from Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark, obviously, especially South Carolina chasing an undefeated season. I mean, the storylines are abundant. I'm looking forward to both Final Fours, but the women's Final Four, the storylines I feel like are even bigger than on the men's side.
Yeah, and I just watched the game last night. In the first game, you just saw ESPN pan the crowd, and you saw all these young girls watching their heroes who want to be basketball players in the future. So the long tail to this growth of the women's game, I think, is significant. So let's move on. A big day in Jackson County, Missouri today, Tuesday. Voters will determine the future home of the Kansas City Royals, along with helping maintain Arrowhead Stadium for the Chiefs. Voters are being asked to extend a current tax that would fund a new Royals ballpark if approved. It would also fund the repair and maintenance of Arrowhead Stadium. Now, the Chiefs have said they will contribute $300 million of the $800 million to renovate Arrowhead. So that $500 million would be made up by this tax. The Royals have put together plans for a new ballpark in downtown Kansas City that includes a hotel, team offices, and residential and entertainment complexes. It sits next to the T-Mobile Center, so right downtown. And the Royals have committed to contributing $1 billion toward the overall investment of $2 billion. So this tax is very important. And Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are featured in a new ad urging voters to approve the tax that would raise as much as $2 billion of taxpayer money for the two stadiums. And as we've talked about on the Buzzcast, most of the time, these public referendums are very dicey, and this vote will be very close. The latest polls have almost a dead heat, and people on the ground who I've spoken to are nervous about the outcome, and there's no real indication of what would happen if this vote doesn't pass. Now, the team's current leases continue through 2031, well, actually January of 2031. That would mean the Royals and the Chiefs would need to stay at the Truman Sports Complex until then. But this is a big, big day, and you would think the Chiefs have a lot of capital in that market to get this over the finish line, but uncertain. Public referendums, always dicey. As an aside, poll workers working today, Tuesday, are prohibited from wearing Chiefs and Royals gear on Tuesday at the polls. So a lot of storylines to keep your eye on, but this could have and will have major ramifications on the future of the Royals and the Chiefs, the vote today. Let's move on. An executive change at Madison Square Garden Sports, which was quietly executed on Monday. There's not much to report here, except that Dave Hopkinson has departed his role as president and COO of Madison Square Garden Sports as of yesterday, April 1st. It was only announced that Hopkinson would be receiving severance in line with his employment agreement. Now, he took over from Andy Lustgarten, and he joined MSG in 2020. He had oversight of the business operations of the Knicks and the Rangers and the G League. There's a lot of sports assets there. He came to New York and MSG after years of working for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment in Toronto. And under his watch, MSG Sports had very healthy years on the business side. Nothing surprises me when it comes to changes under Jim Dolan, but this one caused me pause. Hopkinson is a very effective operator, so we'll look to learn more around this story going forward. A couple of Major League Baseball notes as the season has started. First, Mets owner Steve Cohen is staying firm to his new team philosophy that the franchise will have a more conservative financial approach. He wants to build through the farm system and have smart free agency signings rather than being out in front with the highest payroll. But, by no means is Steve Cohen not going to spend. He said he remains open to adding payroll at any time if it makes sense. The Mets payroll, the highest in baseball, currently sits at nearly $340 million. And USA Today's Bob Nightingale had some interesting notes as he talked about the disparity in payrolls. Never has it been greater in baseball. The Mets are actually paying more money to players who are no longer on their roster than the entire total the A's are paying for players on their current team. Yes, the Mets owe more than $70 million to players no longer on the roster. The A's total team payroll, just north of $60 million. So you see this disparity. You're seeing some teams cross the luxury tax threshold, actually more teams than ever before. But there are still 10 teams in baseball who will open the season with a lower payroll than a year ago. And there's a lot of financial stresses, much of it caused by the declining revenue on the media side with the deterioration of the regional sports network. So payroll, always something to watch. Staying with baseball, the D-backs' ability to sign a free agent pitcher like Jordan Montgomery to a one-year, $25 million deal, that was a result of revenue generated by last year's run to the World Series. And it's because they are projecting higher attendance at Chase Field this season. So last year's postseason run is believed to have generated revenue between $30 and $40 million extra for the organization. They've also increased their attendance projections for this year. And single game ticket sales are up 30% from last year. So that is the blueprint, right? The team performs better, you increase revenue, and in this case, you put much of that revenue back into the franchise and to team payroll. That's what the D-backs are doing by their unexpected run to the World Series last year, using that extra revenue to sign a pitcher like Jordan Montgomery. How many of you watched the UFL over the weekend? I will admit, I wasn't able to catch any of the newly revamped league. This is the result, of course, of the USFL-XFL merger that established the UFL, but a very crowded sports weekend to launch with the NCAA, with baseball. You had a number of other sports going on during the Easter weekend, but let's break down attendance for the four games. You had 9,000 in Houston. You had 9,000 in Michigan at Ford Field. You had 13,000 in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome, and you had 14,000 in that football hotbed of Birmingham. So you're seeing some of the early attendance numbers for opening weekend games. Again, this is the UFL, which started its season over the weekend. Let me know if you had a chance to watch any of that and your initial point of view. And I know many of you have talked about the sport of padel. It is a different type of racket sport. It is not pickleball. It is not platform tennis. It is not tennis, but it's padel. And the Pro Padel League has announced that it's starting its season opening event in Miami. That starts, its first one starts today. There are two tournaments this month, April, in Miami. But padel is a very interesting sport, big in Europe, starting to get some traction in the United States. So I'll be keeping an eye on just how this event performs in Miami this month. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Wednesday.